Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father, through the Lord Jesus Christ, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 185, the stanzas 3, 4, and 6. Because thy mercy, Lord, is good, O answer me in grace, and in the riches of thy love, O turn to me thy face. And what follows? Psalter 185, the stanzas 3, 4, and 6. Out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Luke 15, the verses 11 through 24. And afterwards from the canons of Dort, the third and fourth head of doctrine, of the corruption of man, his conversion to God, and the manner thereof, Articles 5 and 6. Luke 15, the verses 11 through 24. And he said, a certain man had 2 sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with righteous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my fathers have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. And make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Thus far the scripture reading from the Canons of Dort, the 3rd and 4th head of doctrine, of the corruption of man, his conversion to God, and the manner thereof, Articles 5 and 6. Article number 5. In the same light, we are to consider the law of the Decalogue, delivered by God to his peculiar people, the Jews, by the hands of Moses. Though it discovers the greatness of sin, and more convinces man thereof, yet as it neither points out a remedy, nor imparts strength to extricate him from misery, and thus being weak through the flesh, leaves the transgressor under the curse. A man cannot by this law obtain saving grace. Article 6. What therefore neither the light of nature nor the law could do, that God performs by the operation of the Holy Spirit through the word or ministry of reconciliation, which is the glad tidings concerning the Messiah, by means whereof it hath pleased God to save such as believe, as well under the old as under the New Testament, let us try to ask the Lord for his blessing. Our Lord of the heavens and of the earth, when we may gather in this afternoon under thy holy word and eternal testimony, then thou yet maketh a difference where there is no difference. And we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Then there is so much suffering, so many tears are shed because of all the trials of life. Then there are many upon the world that if not the bare necessities of life, those that are hungry, may it please thee to open the windows of heaven for them. And although for us and our children that we do not suffer from a natural hunger, oh, do by thy Holy Spirit grant that spiritual thirsting and hungering after righteousness. There are so many countries suffering under persecution where thy church cannot gather together, and thou still granteth it unto us and our children. And ah, Lord, what maketh us to differ? May that be deeply imprinted upon all our minds and upon our hearts. And may we be humbled thereunder. Wilt thou grant that be wondering and also a deep impression? Unto whom much is given, much is required. There are great multitudes, most of the people upon the face of the earth, that if not thy word, that are still in heathendom, a strange religion, and there are so many where in former generations the truth was, where thou wast wrought wonderfully, but where thou hast removed the candlestick of thy holy word, and they are dwelling in Egyptian darkness, and they also have a soul for eternity. And we may still have the truth, Lord. And thou hast written in thy holy word, unto whom much is given, much shall be required. Then there are many also under thy solemn judgments that are in hospitals with the virus, with other sicknesses, on a sickbed or on a deathbed. And in this day, then there is not one of us in the hospital, but, oh Lord, wilt thou teach us our spiritual sickness, and that we may be brought under the care of that heavenly physician, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom thou wast given, that he may pay the price, that he may redeem, and that he may heal his church. Lord, may it then be all thy goodness that leadeth to repentance. Then there is so much hatred, so much division, divorces, ah, the list is long. Then what a privilege it is when our love has not waxed cold, when love may flourish in the midst of the family circles. Lord, then thou wast granted in this afternoon that by renewal the doors of thy house have been opened, and then we humbly beg of thee that thou may bless thy holy word. May sinners come to themselves, may it become reality. And where thou hast begun that good work, O wilt thou bring them to an end of everything of self, and that they may be given to return, O as they are, with their riddles, with their perplexities, with the burden of sin. O wilt thou bring sinners to the foot of the cross, that by an eye of faith they may be given to behold that precious surety who has come to save his church, and faith to embrace it, to be given to joy with rejoicing unspeakable, Lord. Wilt thou grant the further leadings in the life of thy people? Wilt thou grant more of those exercises for the coming of thy kingdom? Wilt thou grant those wrestlers that thou may remember the family circles, as we have heard out of thy holy word in this morning hour? Do it then for thy honor and for thy glory. Lord, we live in very solemn and very serious times. Impress that solemnity upon our hearts, and may we be given to seek thee while thou mayest be found. May we be given to hasten for our life's sake, that we may find a place of refuge under thy everlasting arms. Lord, remember the nations of this earth. Then under thy solemn speaking, then there is so little acknowledgement that thou art the ruler supreme, and that the efforts must be blessed. May there yet be a bowing among those in high authority and among the citizens of the country, also in this country where thou continuest to speak, and then thou calleth us to repent, Lord, of the sins of this nation, and we belong to this nation, and therefore national guilt, that is also our guilt, where the unborn continue to be murdered, the Sabbath day desecrated, the seventh commandment thy law not respected. O Lord, then we must say with the prophet of old, woe unto us that we have sinned, the crown is fallen from our head. We commend unto thee our leaders, also of this province, under the difficult circumstances. Wilt thou grant wisdom, understanding, discretion? May they be given to bow their knees and open thy holy word, asking of thee wisdom. Lord, wilt thou remember all our temporal needs? Then by renewal we remember all the mourning, the elderly, the sick and afflicted, the crosses and the burdens, those that are struggling with temptations and with addictions. Wilt thou grant them a place at thy footstool? Wilt thou remember prodigal sons and prodigal daughters? And now, Lord, by renewal on this day, then we humbly ask of thee for thy help. May it please thee to open thy word, open our mouth, and open our hearts. May thy word go forth with power divine. Thou knowest how we have come up to thy house. May there be empty vessels, that have cried unto thee, for a little token of thy favor, because thou hast a people upon the earth that sends everything away, but not only a token of thy favor, but a further leading to receive the strengthening of faith and to be given to behold that precious mediator in his necessity, in his preciousness, as prophet, priest, and king. Lord, may it please thee to take away everything that could be a hindrance. And then by renewal, we have to confess that we have nothing to plead upon. The list of our sins is long. It is great. Against all the commandments will thou work more and more. That sorrow and a tender life, oh, the fear to grieve thee, let not sin have dominion over us, be then a surprising God. Forgive us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 398, the three stanzas. The Lord upholds the faltering feet and makes the weak securely stand. The burdened ones bow down with grief are helped by his most gracious hand. And what follows, 398, the three stanzas. in this afternoon hour, with the help of the Lord. And then we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Luke 15, the verses 20 through 24. And he arose and came to his father. And when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Our text words speak of the father's reception of the prodigal son. With five thoughts, then our first thought shall be the last thought of this morning hour, the returning son. In the second place, the embracing father. In the third place, the interrupting father. In the fourth place, the entertaining father. And in the fifth place, the exclaiming father. The father's reception of the prodigal son, the returning son, the embracing father, the interrupting father, the entertaining father, and in the last place, the exclaiming father. Beloved congregation, we have heard in this morning hour that the son has come to himself, that he was given to reflect on his father's goodness and all that he had done. And then we have heard that he was not only a reflecting son, that is a blessing when there may be those times that we may reflect on the past. It is necessary that it may be accompanied by the work of the Holy Spirit, and that we may receive a deep, an abiding impression of what the Lord has done and what we have done. And then we have heard that he became a resolving son. He was not a Felix who in Acts 24, the verses 24 and 25 has said to Paul, go thy way this time, when I have a more convenient season, I will call for thee. And then that resolution, I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him. Then we do not read my father. It is true. Before we have heard that he has spoken, how many hired servants of my father's, that has become his guilt, that he has sinned against his father. But then he was given to meditate and to reflect what he must say to his father. I read in Luke 11, verse 1, that the disciples have asked Christ, Lord, teach us to pray. And then he would not say, my father, that he had sinned all away. And then he would say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. And that is now necessary, congregation, to experience. It is necessary to confess. That has become the burden of that prodigal son in that far country. And then he would say, in the first place, I have sinned against heaven and then before thee. Has that now ever taken place, congregation, with our reflections? Because surely all we many times are given to think of our life, what is our life, given to think of all the blessings, and also under the preaching of the holy law. Tonight we hope to come to the 10th commandment. And how is it now? Have we now learned that confession? What that son would say to his father, Father, I have sinned against heaven, that we have sinned against the righteous, a merciful, and a long-suffering God, and that works out that sorrow, because when the Lord works, then he works, he also grants that love for the Lord, for his law, for his institutions, that becomes evident in the resolve and in the prayer, what he would say to his father, I have sinned against heaven, young and old. Have we now ever become a sinner? And when that confession is born, then it shall not always be with dry eyes. Then we shall weep those bitter, let me tell you, they are also sweet tears, when we may be given to bow as an unworthy, as a sinner that has transgressed the commandments of the Lord. Then we learn who the Lord is, we learn who we are, and then we learn that our sin that causes that separation, and for the true people of God, that is worse than death. David has declared in Psalm 51 verse 4, when he has come in that far country, when he has sinned with Bathsheba, killed Uriah for more than 9 months, no opening at the throne of grace, when he has experienced that separation, when it has pleased the Lord to send that Nathan one by renewal, David has truly come to himself. Then David was given to confess, against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. But then he would not only confess, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Thus sin, boys and girls, you can remember the two tables of the law. The first four commandments, they are the sin against God. And the last six, sins referring to our neighbor, of course, also sins against God. Thus the confession before heaven and before thee. And then he would add, and am no more worthy to be called thy son, make me as one of thine own servants. Thus then it is clear in the life of this boy that in the first place it did not go over that lost inheritance, that boy was thinking, maybe if I can now become the son, then somehow I may still receive mine inheritance. That was not first in his mind. As long as he may be in his father's house, under his father's rule, under his father's love, father's care, the father's provision, if he may even have a lonely place, even a place to sleep of a servant, that he may dwell among that people, And then he would be so happy. He was no longer worthy. That is a blessed place to come, congregation. And we come there not so fast. But then it also betrays something. And I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. And make me as one of thy servants. It's true. It was humility. But there it is also betrayed. Oh, we are so bound up in that covenant of works. And the natural heart that God's people also must learn. That natural heart, because of that pride, is an enemy of free and sovereign grace. To receive something for nothing. And to that end, in that confession that that son would make, there it is betrayed, it is veiled, it is true. Does not mean that son has realized it. Does not mean that God's people, they need to be discovered to that awful pride. What a great sin it is to count the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ an unclean thing. The people of God learn not only sin against the law, but sin against the gospel. Thus then that son had the thought that he would work as a servant and make everything right. Thus a resolving son. Has that ever become our resolve, congregation? To return unto the Lord, to leave that far country, oh, with that good choice, to set our face Zionwards. And now our first thought in this afternoon that goes about that returning son with a confession which he would plan to make. He would say, Father, I have sinned before heaven, against heaven, and before thee. We read of different ones in the Bible that have also said they have sinned, but was not accompanied by grace and by the love shed abroad in the heart, and they have perished. We read of Pharaoh under the great judgments of the Lord, those plagues, that of Pharaoh also two times said, I have sinned. But when the plague was removed, then he has hardened his heart. I read of a Balaam, when he was on the way to curse that people, and the angel has appeared with that sword, and when his eyes were opened, and when he has come a little to himself, then he has also confessed, I have sinned. Nevertheless, we know what he has done. And he has perished with the enemies of the Lord. We read of an Achan, when he was found out, when he has taken that gold and that Babylonian garment. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled Israel? That he has also said, I have sinned. We read of a Shimei, when a David has returned, that he has said the same. We even read of King Saul, when David has spared his life, that a few times he has also said, I have sinned. Do we not read of a Judas, that he has said, I have sinned, and betrayed innocent blood? Thus only a confession is necessary, but it is too short. But now with the son, it became evident that it came out of his heart and that it was sincere. And to that end, we simply read, and he arose and came to his father. Then maybe, boys and girls, maybe you would like to ask that boy a few questions. When he arose, when he turned his back upon that far country, and when he was traveling to his father, then concerning those husks, we do not read that he has taken anything of that far country along. Different reasons. In the first place, they were not given. In the second place, he had no money to buy them. And in the third place, what else? He no longer, then when the Lord works, then we no longer have desire for the things of the world. Of course, that son, we shall not trouble that son with those things at the moment. Let that son have a little rejoicing and a little gladness, because when the Lord works, then he grants the graces of faith, hope, and love. Thus let us let that son rejoice in his choice and not trouble him. Oh, we shall experience it to his bitter disappointment. Oftentimes that far country, although he has turned his back upon that far country, then he would experience that far country and those things of that far country, they dwell in his heart. And now concerning that bridge, for the one there can be a clear cutting off, and other one there can be struggles with different temptations. Nevertheless, that bridge shall be taken up. Then we have another question to ask that boy. And then we would say, boy, but have you now thought of the rules of your father? Because when you left, you thought your father was too strict. Maybe had to be home too early, had to work too hard. We can multiply it out. But now, son, when you return to that father's house, then you must not expect that those rules and those laws have changed, that they are still the same. How is it now, boy? Then that boy would have to confess with tears that he had been such a fool, and that something very remarkable has happened, that for those laws and rules that he despised when he was at home, that he has learned to love those laws and those rules, that the Spirit works by his grace, that they are given to love the Lord, they are given to love his word, and they are given to love his law. And thus he arose and came to his father. Not everything is written in God's word, of course, but also remarkable things have taken place. Because, boys and girls, we have heard this morning that son, that he was hungry and he received nothing to eat. And now to make such a large, long journey because he was in a very far country, and that he did not perish on the way to his father's house, is that not a great wonder that the Lord has provided for that son? The Lord has a people who, in the way of providence, that they may experience many impossibilities, but that the Lord cares for them. It is not all written in this parable, but on such a long journey to be so hungry, and then it is clear that without food and drink, that he would never come safely and whole to his father's house. Thus the special provision over that son, the tokens of the Lord, that the Lord has not forsaken him. Oh, what an encouragement that can be for the true people of God when they receive those tokens, because we soon hope to hear that he would receive that kiss. But that people, they receive many encouragements, then they may experience that the Lord knows of them. It is true, they are not back in the Father's house. Nevertheless, they are on that journey. Another wonder. that boy has left his father's house into a very far country. And in Bible times, they did not have maps and roads as we do. And thus it is easy to run away from the father's house to another country, but now to find a way back. But now we read for the church of God in Psalm 32 verse 8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go, and I will guide thee with my eye. Thus in this parable there are many wonders implied, and that is now the experience of God's people. But with all those wonders and with those tokens, then they are not back in the Father's house. It is true, they have so sincerely turned their back upon that far country. Oh, that has become death. And now on that way back, of course, in Bible times, the families did have not scriptures as we have. They were in the synagogue. Then what a blessing it would be, that is instruction, boys and girls, that when we are given things to memorize and Bible texts, that we may do our best to memorize them thoroughly, that we may remember them, because there may becomes a time we are in prison because of the testimony of Jesus Christ, because of persecution, when we shall not be allowed to even have a Bible. Then how often it has happened for the persecuted church that the Lord has used those texts, those portion of scriptures that they have memorized, that they were used for the comfort and for the encouragement of the persecuted church. All for that son, undoubtedly, because the Jewish fathers and mothers, they have taken great diligence to instruct their sons and daughters in the Old Testament, in the things of the Lord. Then what a comfort it would be when the Lord would apply those texts, because if that son, if he now had a Bible, boys and girls, what do you think he would do on that way back to his father? Ah, the Lord has a people that is given to search the Bible. No, they do not search it as they ought. They have to write bitter things against themselves. Can be so busy in the world. Can be so lukewarm. But now on that way from that far country to that father's house, then the way can seem so strange. Do we not read of the children of Israel that they were led in a roundabout way? There can be those valleys of Baca. There can be those mountains of difficulty that they do not see the way anymore. And then the question can arise in their heart whether they are truly on the way. And then what a comfort it can be in God's house, or when they open the scriptures, or when they find that way declared, that they may have another signpost. Oh, what an encouragement that grants to those sons and daughters that may return. Then on that way back, then that son, then he has come on that way when he has left his father. And the closer that he came to the father's house, the more things that he has seen. He was given to write bitter things against himself. How the tears must have flowed when maybe he to speak in our day, when he came past a bar, a theater, I hope he did not visit those places, but the places where he has spent and wasted all his money and right as living when it has all testified against him. Ah, that for that son, then his burden only became heavier and heavier. Then the wonder only became greater, that he may still have a place upon the earth, that the heaven has still covered him, that the Lord has not made an end to everything. How he must have wept. How that pace, as he came closer to his father's house, how we must have walked slower and slower, and many questions, and oh, when a soul may come to the feet of the Savior, then the devil shall do everything to hinder such a soul. What an arrows are shot, and what a questions are asked. Do you not really think that the Lord has begun that good work? Do you think, oh, it is true, this prodigal son did not have the precious invitations? Think of Matthew 11, verse 28, come unto me, all that are burdened, are heavy laden, and I will give thee rest. Ah, that fitted the case of that prodigal son. The scriptures, how they are applicable to those seeking souls, to those wandering sons that are returning. But what a questions there can be asked. Do you now really think that that invitation is for you? Oh, it is true. They may honestly say before the Lord that they are such a burdened one and such a laboring one. Oh, there are times when the Bible may speak that they may be included. But how often the questions can be, do you not really think it is for you? You have sinned too much, too long. You have dwelt too long in that far country. You have went against your conscience so often, and do you think that you were unworthy enough and humble enough? Oh, what a questions there can be. But in the way of grace, the drawing love of the Lord, and he has a willing people in the day of his power. Our second thought, the embracing Father. And then we read, and he arose and came to his father. People of God, all seeking souls, may that be encouragement. Do you read it? He arose. Oh, undoubtedly many times that there was a voice that has said, you shall never come to the Father. You were hungry, not enough to eat. You were starving. Must you now really think to make that long journey to that Father? But we have said in this morning hour, the Lord teaches his people the same things, but the one is drawn, the other is driven. The one dies by hunger, the other dies by the sword. But they shall all learn no fruit from this tree forevermore. They shall all learn that they have sinned it all away. Ah, the church shall learn what we read in Ephesians 2 verse 8. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Oh, what an encouragement when we read that son, when he has dwelt in that far country, when he has wasted everything away, when he has sinned it all away, and he arose and came to his father. And then we read, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. We do not read that he saw the father yet. Ah, that boy, he was so bowed down and so burdened and so many fears, a thousand fears, and yet driven by love, he needed a place back in the house of his father. Thus, does not say that he saw the father, but we read of a waiting father. And when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him in the life of the church. When was the first time that the father seen his church? That was in that never begun eternity, the council of peace. The father has elected, his son has given himself. Oh, the father sees them in the moment of regeneration, the all-seeing eye of God, and the Lord has a people that is glad that the Lord sees everything. And now it is implied, it is clear, that father had a large farm, much to take care of, but that his thoughts were with that prodigal son in that far country. We have read this morning out of Jeremiah 31, and then in verse 20, is Ephraim, my dear son, is he a pleasant child? For since I spoke against him, I do earnestly remember him still. Therefore my bowels are troubled for him. I will surely have mercy upon him, as saith the Lord. Thus the father, he was waiting, he was praying, looking down that road, whether his prodigal son would return. And then we read, saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Then that father, oh, what a wonder for that son, that the father did not send some servants with that message and says, boy, you have given me so much grief. My hairs have become gray, shed so many tears. You have disturbed my whole farm. No place for you on the farm. Ah, for that boy, it was a wonder that he was not arrested and that he was not put in jail. And before that father had anything to say, it is clear that he was so bowed down and that he was so surprised and ran and fell on his neck. Not as a washed boy, but as a filthy boy that had not taken a shower for a very long time. Ah, then that father, then it is clear he has not received and accepted a son back because of any improvement of that son. Ah, what a lesson for the people of God. They shall learn to be saved, not as an improved saint, but the Lord justifieth the ungodly. What that must have been for that son when he felt that loving embrace of the father. What a wonder. And not only embrace, but we read that he also was kissed in the scripture. Then a kiss has many meanings. Then we think of the meaning of Moses and Aaron in Exodus 4. That was reconciliation. That was a meeting where two brothers have been separated for a long time. Then a kiss also refers to love and affection. In Genesis 48 verse 10, when Joseph brought Manasseh and Ephraim to Jacob, then Jacob has kissed those boys. When we think of Joseph with Benjamin in Genesis 45, then it was a kiss of reconciliation. It is an evidence of great love. Think of that woman who was a sinner in Luke 7 verse 46. Then she has come in that room and that she has kissed his feet. It is a sign of union, as we read in the Song of Solomon in 1 verse 2. Let him kiss him with the kisses of his mouth, for his love is better than wine. Thus, that kiss had a very rich meaning. That was a kiss of reconciliation. Our second thought, the interrupting a father. And then we read, surely for that son. Then he was so amazed that there was a time, how long it was, that he was so astonished that he was silent in the arms of his father and under that kiss. Then he has felt the love of that father. But now he has started to speak. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. He has thought about when he arose. We have heard it in verse 18. I will arise and go to my father, because he felt he could not come to his father in silence. He had a great confession to make of everything that he has done. And then he would say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy servants. And now in verse 21, then he was permitted and given to speak the first part of what he was planned to say. Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But then we do not read that he has continued to say, make me as one of thy hired servants. How is that now? Has he now changed his thoughts? Oh, surely, under that embrace of that father and under that kiss, he has been encouraged, but under that love, he was given to feel more of his unworthiness. Oh, he was planned to say the rest. But then it is clear in our parable that that father has cut it off and that he was interrupted. Because the father, he would hear nothing of it. And am no more worthy to be called thy son. And to that end, but the father said to his servants, who are those servants in the life of the church? That is the work of the Holy Spirit, to bring a people to himself, but also to apply those benefits which Christ has merited in the state of his humiliation and then in the state of exaltation. Then the Holy Spirit, he applies those benefits. It is the work of the Holy Spirit to make room and to glorify that precious mediator in the life of his people. And therefore, but the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. That is our forethought. The entertaining father, let us first sing of Psalter 407, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Oh, praise ye the Lord and sing a new song. Amid all the saints, his praises prolong. The praise of their maker, his people shall sing, and children of Zion rejoice in their king. And what follows, 407, 1, 2, and 3. our forethought, the entertaining father. Oh, what it must have been for that boy to be in the arms of the father and to be kissed. Then there was a moment that it seemed that everything was right. The Lord has a people upon the earth that may experience that embrace, receive the tokens of His love. And then there can be times that it seems with that embrace and with that kiss that their sin is covered, that they may be given to rejoice with joy unspeakable. But when that embrace is withdrawn, and then you ask such a soul concerning their sins and concerning their guilt, then the tears begin to flow, because that son, when he lie in the arms of his father of that love, then he was still clothed with rags and would not be fitting for such a one with those rags to even be a servant. Oh, let us mention, congregation, that son, that he has not spoken of his childship. When we read the scriptures, then many times, then the saints of old, then they have called themselves a servant and a handmaiden, even a doorkeeper at the house of God, that becomes so great. But now to become a child, those are those further leadings, do we not read, of those matters in Romans 8. And now with everything that has transpired, and with that confession which he has made to his father, what shall his father now say? And then the father, then he has spoken to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Then with that putting on, do you hear, congregation? Then that son was passive. And when we compare scripture with scripture, that robe, that is a covering robe. Because they read in Isaiah 61 verse 10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with a robe of righteousness. And that robe of righteousness in Isaiah 61, that refers to the righteousness which Christ has merited for his church. And then surely, when they have put that best robe, what a valuable robe that is. That is a robe that the child of God desires, that they may be covered in that other righteousness, because that people learns that they have no righteousness of their own. They learn with Isaiah 64 verse 6, that even their righteousnesses, that they are as filthy rags. And then surely, before that best robe was put on, then you can understand it, boys and girls, that those servants, that they have taken all those rags that were ready to fall apart. Thus, that son, as a naked sinner, as a naked son, he would be covered Oh, wet that best robe, and further than we read, and then we specifically read it and put it on him. That was the work of those servants. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. And put a ring on his hand. That ring that refers to the sealing work of the Holy Spirit. That was a pledge, that was a mark that he has received his sonship back. What rich things are declared in this parable. And then further, what it must have been for that son. One blessing after another. First a robe, then a ring, and shoes on his feet. What are we now to understand by those shoes? We read in Ruth 4, when that other kinsman has come to the gate, and when Boaz has appeared, then that kinsman has taken a shoe off his foot, and then he has given it to Boaz. That had a special meaning. That means that Boaz, that he would receive possession of the lands and also a right with those shoes, that he could walk, that he could work on that land. Thus, when shoes were put on his feet, that had a special meaning, that he received his sonship back, that he was permitted, because then it is no longer have to, then it is a may. Then we may work, then we may labor, it is true. We shall not go into it, that far country, and many times when the ways are difficult, but to that end, these shoes that were given to the son, they were shoes that were fitted. We read of the blessing of Asher in Deuteronomy 33, the verses 24 and 25, that they were shoes of iron and of brass, that the Lord would grant to that son a strength on the way, and that when his heart was enlarged, as we read in Psalm 119, verse 32, that the church may be given to run in the way of God's commandments, and then further, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. It is true, it is a parable. But when we consider that fatted calf, and when we consider the feast which they have made, and we compare it to other portions of Scripture, must we then not think of Christ Jesus and him crucified, how he was given as that perfect sacrifice, that he has merited salvation, and to that end, the child of God may receive those precious benefits. Oh, the fatted calf that was kept apart, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. Do I not read in John 6, verse 55, that Christ has said, "For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood drink indeed." Thus, when we read of that fatted calf, must then our thoughts not go out to the precious Son of God, who has given himself to his church? Ah, for that son, how we must have sank away in bewilderment. Oh, after that confession, then we'd read that that son was silent, that he was given to receive those precious benefits. Our last thought, the exclaiming of Father, and let us eat and be merry. It was a special time for the Father. It was a special time for the servants. It was a special time for that household. When that prodigal son, how long he had been gone, It's not written in God's word, not the most important. Oh, it is a blessing when the Lord draws us by His Spirit early. But now the Father was given to speak. He has received many benefits. After He has made that confession, the Father has spoken to those servants in the presence of the Son. Oh, what an encouragement. But now by renewal, then the Father is given to speak. For this my Son, as the Father did not say, my Son who has become a hired servant. He did not say this, my Son that has ruined everything, inflicted much damage upon my farm, upon my honor, because we can understand it. When that son has asked for his inheritance, and when he has left his father's house, how there must have been spoken about that son, but also about that father and about his farm. But the Father has not mentioned any of those things. Oh, the love of the Father for this, my Son. The Son has returned. It is true with His reflections. Then He has said, I shall go to my Father. Had an impression that that Father had rights, that He has sinned so grievously against His Father. That was the place where He belonged. And to that end, He has made that resolution. But we have heard when He came to His Father, He only said, Father. But now to hear that that Father has said, for His wayward, His backward son, that has ruined everything, because that Father has seen that His Son has come, not with a bag of money. It was not a son that has traded well with his talents. And for every 10 that he has received, that he has gained an other 10. But it was very clear for that father, when he has seen his rags, his skinniness, that he had nothing in his hands to offer to his father, that he had nothing to pay back all his debt, that he was completely bankrupt, and yet for that son to hear, for this my son, what a word that must have been for that son. What precious things, what rich things are declared in our parable. What instruction for the child of God. Oh, of course, what a wonder and what a blessing it is when we may come to ourselves in that far country, that it becomes death. When we may set our face Zionwards, when we are given to make that good choice, and on that way, in the midst of all the riddles, the perplexities, all the questions, the burden of our sin, to receive that embrace, those tokens of His love, but now to receive further benefits, and then to hear it. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. What profound words. A son dead, lost, described in many different ways in the Bible. Think of the parable of those dry bones in Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 16 of one lying polluted in their blood in Ephesians 2, dead in sins and trespasses, for this my son was dead. He was lost, but now the Father has said he is alive again and is found, and they began to be merry. Then that father was merry. Then those servants were merry. Of course, there was that older son, but that is not spoken of in our text. Congregation, what precious things are declared in this parable are the works of free and sovereign grace. And now it is so necessary that we examine each our hearts, how it is now with us. And of course, a blessing when outwardly we do not become a prodigal son, but congregation. These are lessons which we must learn here on this side of the grave. And when he came unto himself, that is now the beginning. And has that now ever taken place? Oh, when it has not taken place, may you be given to beg earnestly that the Lord may grant his Holy Spirit and that you may experience those wonderful things, because congregation, they are such wonderful things. The things which the people of God may experience, oh, in a far country, to experience that separation, but to become a seeking soul. Wherefore, Floyd has said in a sermon, if that seeking is now so precious and so sweet, what shall that finding be? Ah, that son, he has experienced wonderful things on the way back to his father, but it was necessary that he would come to his father's house and that he may experience people of God. May we be given to examine ourselves how far we may come, and may we ask for the further leadings of the Lord, then we may receive that comfort therefrom, and the Lord's name may be glorified, and then the church may be gladdened. Amen. Let us close. Lord, may it please thee to work those wonderful things in the hearts of us and our children, because thou art still gathering a church, and there is still room in the Father's house. Oh, it is written in thy word that in my Father's house are many mansions. I go and prepare a place for you, Lord. Wilt thou then prepare us and our children? Wilt thou remember us in the furtherance of the Sabbath day? Wilt thou grant traveling mercies? Bring us under the means of grace once more on this Sabbath day, and pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 444. Let us only sing stanza one. O bless the Lord, my soul, with all thy power. Exalt the God who is thy strength and tower. Let all within me bless his holy name. Bless him who heareth all thy supplication. Psalter 444, only the first stanza. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.